GEPF released its annual report today. My colleague Greg van der Kerk caught up with the fund's principal executive officer, Abel Sithole.
The Government Employees Pension Fund is the largest pension fund in South Africa and manages the retirement savings of all government employees. The fund has 1.3 million active members working for all spheres of government and include all teachers, policemen, doctors and employees of all levels of government. The fund also has over 460,000 pensioners and beneficiaries. At the end of March, there was 1.8 trillion rand under management, which was 2.6% higher than the previous year. On the line is Abel Sithole. He's the Principal Executive Officer of the Government Employees Pension Fund. Abel, thank you for joining me. The fund grew by 2.6% in the year. That is lower than the inflation rate. How should members and beneficiaries feel about this performance?
Number one, I think a growth that is lower than inflation can always be of concern to members, but I would like to assure especially our pensioners, because the growth in the interim doesn't really affect the benefits of members, even if those members leave the GEPF. It is the pensioners who are mostly likely to be concerned, but they are likely to be given a pension increase that is much more in line with the CPI increase or the rate and the increase of inflation. So the attempt of the GEPF is to always to try and maintain the purchasing power of pensioners to the extent that we match CPI. However, what it does mean is that I think the growth in the GEPF has been flat, which of course is not really a good thing if it continues in the long term.
How healthy is the fund at the moment? What are your funding levels?
Currently, officially, we still remember the fund does evaluation every 2 years. The last evaluation was done in 2008, and at that time, the fund was 108% funded on a minimum funding level, which means that if we were to liquidate the fund on the date of the valuation, the fund had more than a rand and 8 cents for each rand of benefit promised to members. So it was well funded at that point in time. We are going to do another valuation next year in 2020, and officially that's when we are going to have a clearer indication of what the funding level will be at that time. In the interim, we do of course monitor the fund on an ongoing basis. Due to the increase in interest rates, although the fund hasn't performed very well, the indications are that the fund remains well funded and slightly better than I think what it was in 2018. And that sounds counterintuitive, but as I've indicated, that's because although the total portfolio hasn't performed, the interest rates, which are very key in the determination of the discount rate used to value the fund, has actually gone up, which in a sense has made it, relatively speaking, better funded than it was the last valuation.
So you say it is healthy. You know, the pension fund has been in the news very often this year, not always for the right reasons, mostly due to the PIC being in the news for the wrong reasons. How is your relationship with the Public Investment Corporation, who of course manages a significant portion of this 1.8 trillion rand assets you have?
The relations was strained in terms of some of the revelations that we learned at the commission. It's important to understand that some of it, of course, is still hearsay. It has still to be tested, and we don't really know what the commission's findings will be. I think in the next week or two, I think they will be presenting their report to the president, and then, of course, the president will take whatever time he needs to consider, and then, of course, to do whatever he wants to do. So we're not quite sure when we're going to know what the commission's findings are and what their recommendations are. But the important thing, of course, is that, yes, the PIC does manage a significant portion of the GEPF assets. But to remind listeners that, by and large, that portfolio is managed in an environment that is transparent. So it's mostly listed equities and listed bonds. The portion that I think largely has been responsible for the commission and its work is what we call the unlisted portion of the GPS assets. That constitutes about 5% of the total portfolio. It's a small part of the portfolio. I'm not saying it's insignificant, because in rand terms, it's over 100 and also billion if you combine both the unlisted equity and the bond. The equity is unlisted is about 93 odd billion. So it's quite significant, but it is really a small portion of the total portfolio.
Well, 1.8 trillion rand is a lot of money, and government needs a lot of money. Have you been approached by government to try and request to fund maybe Eskom and SAA during the current period?
The answer is a categorical no. We have not been approached, but I think it's also important to be clear that we are already an investor in Eskom, not a bailouter of Eskom. We are an investor in Eskom in a sense that we have lent them money. They have guaranteed the capital that we've lent to them through a portion that is guaranteed by government. And of course, they have given us attractive rates. So we've invested in Eskom because it makes sense for the GPF, not because government has told us. And more important, we have absolutely no investment in South African Airways, and we have not at all been asked to invest in South African Airways.
Are you worried about the prospects of possible prescribed asset regulations?
There has been a conversation. I think it ebbs and flows. I think if we were to go back about 4 or 5 months ago, everybody was talking about prescribed assets, and I think that is no longer top of discussions. I think to me that it is just that, a discussion, because the country is facing certain challenges and people are taking the opportunity to look everywhere else where they think assistance can be found. I doubt that. I think that we are looking to have prescription at any time soon, but of course I'm not a policymaker. I can't say for sure, but I am of the view that people will look at the history of prescribed assets in South Africa, understand what the implications, the impact were on pension funds, and the history, I think, is not one that will encourage us to actually consider to actually go the prescribed route. But the reality is, of course, that the country is facing challenges. Long-term investors like the GPF, not the only one, I think all pension funds are in a similar position as the GPF, will be called upon to consider ways that they can play a role to address the challenges facing the country. And to the extent that whatever roles that they are asked to play are beneficial to funds and to their members and to their pensioners, I think pension funds should actually consider.
I looked at the report and only 5% of the fund is invested offshore, which is significantly lower than I would imagine most pension funds in South Africa is. Why is the foreign exposure limited to such a small amount or such a small percentage?
That is a very good question. So I think, well, number one, so if you're asking me the why as opposed to what it be, so let me answer the why first. The reason is, of course, the GPF is governed by a separate law from the one that is governing most pension funds in South Africa in the private sector, which are governed by the Pension Funds Act, and has Regulation 28, which I think has progressively allowed pension funds in the private sector to increase their exposure to offshore to about 30%, while we sitting at about 10% for offshore in totality, and if you add Africa, about 15%. So the reason is because there are different kinds of legislation that govern the GPF from other pension funds. However, that does not, of course, detract from the fact that I think it makes sense for the GPF, just like any other fund, to diversify in a lot of different asset classes, and more important, of course, to diversify geographically. So it is something that we are engaging with government to seek to increase progressively the exposure of the GPF to offshore investments. And I'm saying progressively because in the private sector, the same thing happened. It wasn't done overnight. I think it was allowed to happen so overnight. So we would want that we actually are allowed to have a higher exposure offshore.
Government has stated that it intends to reduce the public service, the number of people working in the public service, to reduce the public wage bill. Obviously, that would have an impact on the fund. How significant can it be? Or are you worried about a significant reduction in the civil service?
Number one, remember, part of the reason why it's in the public domain is because government, remember, it has, if it's going to happen, it is voluntary, number one. Number two, the government is offering a sweetener for people to accept the offer, which is to actually say, we will not apply a penalty when you retire early relative to what I think has been what the fund has projected your liabilities and benefits to become due to you. So the government has actually undertaken to make good the cost of the waiver of the penalty on early retirement. What that means is that, of course, the GPF will therefore not be affected by the reduction, if that reduction does transpire, in terms of voluntary early retirement. So we're not concerned. All it can do, it might change the age profile. For instance, if the older employees accept the voluntary severance packages or early retirement, and younger people are employed, then of course that changes the age profile. But actually, in terms of the financial soundness of the fund, it has no impact.
That was Abel Sotola. He's the principal executive officer director of the Government Employees Pension Fund.